Amen. Pietri is a pillar and a real blessing and a friend to me. And you all know him by now. And he actually helped from the offset to plant this church. And we really appreciate you, Pietri. And Karin, this is Karin. En julle twee chokkers, that's not here today. Pietri had to focus this weekend. We really appreciate you guys and for what you sow into many people's lives. Especially the unseen, which I know there's a lot of. So thank you for that. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, thank you for my brother. Thank you that these words will touch hearts deeply. And not only the ears that are here, but I pray that it will be an echoing sound in the spirit of the good news of the gospel, Lord. In Jesus' name. We thank you for an honor to walk with him. And thank you, Lord, that he battles with you and not in his own strength. And that we know that he's anointed and that he knows you intimately. Where everything starts. And even today, we ask, Lord, that he will enjoy this time with his Father before he delivers a message or give food to people. I pray that he will enjoy this moment with his Father in sharing his King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. Hello, Mjohan. For the past few weeks, we've been introduced to the message that Mjohan brought, that we are witnesses. We don't just do witnessing. It's not an event. Like, it's not like Monday, I'm going to go witness now. It is part of our identity. As an apple tree produces apple, so a follower of Christ witnesses. Because we are merely speaking of what we have seen. And if that is the problem, that you are saying that, well, I haven't seen, then that's the root problem. Then that is where God must come in. Because I'm just, like my wife and I did not sit next to each other, but we are still married. If we are no longer seen together very often, over a long period of time, then there's a problem. Then the problem is with the relationship. So when Johan speaks about us being witnesses, being visible, being salt and light, being loving people, warts and all, are we seeing God changing people? Have we seen it in our own lives? Or don't we see the warts when we look in the mirror anymore? Are we clean shaven so that it doesn't actually be that we don't need God that much? And then Retief shared, he actually mentioned this, a phone that dies. Anyway, he mentioned that we must have an eternal perspective. He mentioned the three E's. That we must think of eternity, that these our lives, the people whom we live with, our lives may be very short, or it might be the longest thing that we do, but it will also be the shortest thing that will determine where you spend the rest of your life. And if we are not mindful of eternity, we will only be focused on what's in the oven now. Of my bank account. Am I safe? Am I secure? Have I got my things in order? But when we are eternity minded, we ask the question, AB asked, I think it was last year. God spoke to him and asked, like, I think it's, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? And God said, what is your 50-year plan? And your 500-year plan? And suddenly we're reminded of, oh, wait, I'm busy with stuff too. Oh, that stuff won't even exist anymore in 500 years' time. And when we are driven by eternity, our actions, our ideas, the things that we think about become different. They're no longer rooted in what does culture tell me to be, how am I safe, how am I secure. but where is eternity going to be spent? What am I going to do there? Because we see clearly in Scripture, whether it's eternal hell or eternal heaven, even within heaven, there's different rewards. There's no obligation on God to give us a reward in heaven, and yet He says, because I'm a good Father, I will give you, I will extend my attributes, and I will show you how good I am. And Ratif spoke of God wants everybody to be saved. Even the guy that bullied you when you were in school. I watched the program last night. This little girl, she had like a tumor in her head, and it made her eyes protrude. And she couldn't go to school because they mocked her the whole time. And you just see the damage that causes. And yet, those very kids that's mocking this girl, God loves them as much as that girl, as me, as the biggest sinner. There is a God that loves everybody and wants all of us to be saved. And final E is, everything is possible with God. There is no too big an obstacle for God. No heart is too hard for God to render. No circumstance is too difficult. No oppression, or the word depression we hear so often these days, like you're unable to see, you're in a pit of darkness. There is one who can save you from that pit of darkness. And He will give you true life. He's the one who overcome eternal darkness so that you can be free. So we were confronted with being a witness, but also, what are we thinking of? How are we acting this out? And whilst I was praying for this message, I'm a developer by trade. I don't know if we can say that. But anyway, and I like to think in practical terms, as in what is the logical steps to get to this, to get to the end goal. What is the end goal? I just want to do A, B, C, and D, and then that's how I set up my life. As long as I've got the steps in order, everything is at peace. Even though there's chaos sometimes, I know there's peace. The end goal will be reached. And so I'm confronted with, do I have good news? Because we are speaking of, we are witnesses, and how our life should be, and how we should love each other, and what we should think of, but do I really have the good news? Can I go to, what's your name? Craig. Can I just go to Craig, whom I've never known, whom I don't know? I do know you now, I think. But yeah, there's a prophetic urgency there that I saw, I just want to honor you for that. Can I go to Craig or anybody else and share the good news? That I'm certain that what I'm saying to Craig or to Chris that came yesterday whilst I'm preparing, looking for food, it doesn't, like, if I can I be certain that I'm sharing good news to all of them? Because for me, that is the most important. That is a key thing. Is like, we can speak about being witness and we can have eternal mindset, but do we trust our news? Do we have a trustworthy source that what we are saying is good news? Because if we haven't seen the good news, if it isn't truly good news, they will see it. Craig will see. He's just reading a newspaper. He doesn't know the author. He doesn't know why this message was written. So I was confronted with, What is the substance of my good news that I want to share? And so often we, and maybe I can just ask that, Latif, what would be good news? Like, just not in a spiritual sense, in the most natural sense, what would you consider to be good news? Okay. That's very nice. Mian? Just a normal, that's in your life, as iemand nou vir jou goeie nuus sal gee. Wat sal dit wees? Okay, it's a lot of spiritual people here. Abby, jy het 'n plaas geerf. Hallelujah. That is good news. Wat's jou naam? Hallo Janneke. Wat sal goeie nuus wees vir jou, soos in jou lewe nou? Okay. Slaap. Just sleep. Just unending sleep. No interruptions. No. We had that actually this morning, where there was, like, the only noise we heard was the rain. And that is, when you have two very small kids, that is amazing. I won't say it's heaven, but it is unnatural to only hear the rain at 7:15 on a Sunday morning. But what came to mind with me was date. Who here has date? Just, I would like to see the hands. Who has date? It seems there's a lot of us that do have date. And what I thought was, it would be nice to have no date. If there was a button to clear all date now, who would be glad if I could clear all date now? Can I just see a few hands? Yes, it seems we have there is in a natural sense, there is a bit of a unanimous feeling that date oppresses us. Nobody thinks good of the debt they have. It doesn't bring forth joy. There's no, yes, I now owe this much money to the bank. I have to pay for the next 20 years. Lord God, you're good. That's not a thing you hear very often. And I was really confronted with this thing that being debt free would be good news. And I was actually, I spoke to Obed, he was the guy who played the Cajun. I spoke to him just prior to the service, and he spoke about his brother, just going through tough times. And because he asked me what the message was about, and I was, in that moment, I was confronted with something that I didn't think of. I probably shouldn't say this, but I didn't. Like, in my preparation, I didn't think of this specific thing, because in my cultural mindset, we all have debt, we all have a job, we all have a car, we live somewhere, we are secure. But that is false, because not everybody is secure. Not everybody does have debt. In fact, some people who would like debt to be able to buy something for them, to afford housing or a car. So I was confronted with this thing that, okay, Pietri, not everybody has debt. And how will this then be good news, Pietri? But Scripture actually has an answer for that. Because we are all debtors. We just spoke in a very financial term, but we are all debtors. We owe a price. And we are confronted with our very debt, the result, the consequences, the penalty of our debt in Isaiah 53. Verse 3. It's a big verse where it speaks of Jesus, the suffering servant. And in the middle of that verse, there's this small sentence. He was crushed, don't worry, for our iniquities. I'm just going to say that again. He, Jesus, was crushed for our iniquities. So looking at that scripture, there's a lot going on there. But the main problem with that scripture is the last word. If we had no iniquities, if there was no iniquities to deal with, no crushing was needed, nobody was needed to come. And yet, when Isaiah spoke of Jesus, the suffering servant, that was what God intended for Jesus to do. In fact, God goes so far to say, as he was pleased in crushing his own son. Anyway, just think of those words as a parent to your child, or as a child thinking of your father in that way. But he was pleased. So it means our iniquities has caused somebody else to be crushed. I would think that whether you are rich or poor, you are part of the hour there. It means somebody had to pay your penalty. Your debt had to be dealt with. So whether we are now rich or poor, whether you have just been born, or you're much older, you're on your way out. Not that that's really a term, but death is imminent. Anyway, sorry. But it's your social standing does not depend on how guilty you are or whether you're guilty. I will now just share quickly on why we are guilty. How can I, Petri, say that Craig is guilty? I don't even know him. How can I have confidence? Maybe that's the question. How can I have confidence that we are all guilty? That was needed. David, just go back. Let's go back. That is the good part, anyway. And we see that in Romans, Paul is speaking of us being born into iniquity. He says that through Adam, sin entered into the world. And we are all in Adam. But once again, now I'm fighting with God, but how can I clearly convey that to God, that to somebody, that he is actually guilty, when all of us know that the consequences of your deeds will go to you. And God himself says, I will not punish a child for his father's sin. So God, being just, says that I will not ascribe guilt to somebody who does not deserve it. However, when God created Adam, Adam was our representative here on earth. So if you think of the best representation, Ralph, if you had to have a substitute do your work, and he must, for him to be the best representation of you, he would have to think like you, he would have to act like you, and actually speak like you, right? Otherwise, he would not be you. So when God created man, Adam, Adam was, in a sense, our representative. He said, when God created Adam, it's the only thing that he said was very good. And he said, and he walked with God. But God gave him a command to eat of all the trees, but there's one tree you may not have. And in that place where Adam decided he wanted to know what is good and evil apart from God, he himself, his DNA changed. So where our representative was walking with God, hearing from God, when he chose to follow the lie, he, in a sense, became guilty, or he was guilty, because God said clearly to him, if you eat this, you will die. The consequences was clear. And yet, he did it. We're not going to say why, because that's a whole nother sermon on itself, but in a sense, he chose to know good and evil apart from God. And God says, for him to be just, he has to honor what he says. And death came in. And he spoke, and Paul says that even though the command was given to Adam, everybody that came after Adam died. So, whatever Adam did, it was now imputed to us. It became our portion. It was inherited. It is now part of who we are. So we are in Adam. And that is why our inequities need to be dealt with. And the word inequities there just means sin or a bent or a skew. Inequities is just another word for sin. So, us being part of Adam has caused us to be sinners. We don't do sin. We don't like we don't do witnessing. We are born in sin. We are guilty when we are born. And in the Old Testament, God dealt with, or he had a requirement to deal with his sin. Because sin and God cannot live together. There can't be a relationship between us and God if our sin is still there, because God is life. And yet when we sin, we die. So God has to deal with the sin. And in the Old Testament, they call it Yom Kippur, where God comes and makes atonement, or the high priest comes and makes atonement for us. Somebody has to die. The word says that the life of a person is in the blood. So blood must be spilled. And with Yom Kippur, it's once a year, there's a sin or guilt offering where the high priest comes and slaughters an animal and goes into the mercy seat. That's the mercy seat is the place where God sits on the Ark of the Covenant. And the blood is thrown there. So God, our sin needs to be covered. And God deals with it with animal sacrifices. In the Old Testament, I missed something that there's a word propitiation. It means the divine wrath, or the God's divine wrath for guilt, for sin, requires a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. The only way God can have relationship with us again is if something dies. That is the only way He can have a relationship with us. And in the Old Testament, the high priest killed a bull, and that was a picture of how God deals with sin. But it was never sufficient. A bull or the blood of an animal wasn't sufficient to cleanse us. The word atonement speaks of actually of just covering. God covers our sin. But it was never completely removed. And that's where Jesus comes in. When He came into the world, He came as a man. As a man, He lived a perfect, sinless life, having no sin, following all of God's commands. Everywhere where Adam failed, or Israel, Adam or Israel is just a picture of God and His church. But everywhere where Adam failed, or Israel failed, where Israel was 40 years in the desert, Jesus was 40 days in the desert fasting. Where Adam was deceived by the snake, none of those things were appealing to God, to Jesus. So Jesus comes and He is the perfect Adam. Because the Old Testament shows us that our guilt is not completely taken care of. We need somebody to take away the guilt. And that guilt can only be taken away by the death of a blood offering. But Christ, not only was He the high priest, because the Word of God says He appointed Him to be the high priest. God said to Jesus appointed His Son to be the high priest. Not only is He the high priest that goes in and make a sacrifice of atonement for us, He Himself is our atonement. His blood is the blood that covers our sin now. But not only does it cover it, it cleanses us from it. I read up that, I think it's 1830, this doctor, I don't know what the guy's name, but the guy first started with blood transfusion. Because a lot of patients died because of blood being hemorrhaged, like when there's a lot of blood flow. And so people died, and what he found was, well, the life is in the blood. If I provide blood for this person, he is restored again. But not only are we restored, the problem is we are dead in our sins and trespasses. So Jesus' blood is much better than that of an animal, because it makes the thing that is dead alive. The transfusion that we receive from Jesus' blood not just cleanses us, but brings us back to life. So that the guilty have an offering that is pleasing to God. And the only way that that is pleasing is if that person had a sinless life. So only the blood of Jesus would suffice for us to be debt free. Can we just go to the next slide? Let's go on. It's going to take some while. Okay. Just wait there. So, we are all guilty. we've just determined that we are born guilty. We don't have a choice of it. Because we are in Adam, we are born guilty. And it says, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and so also was passed on to all men because all have sinned. It is clear that our guilt is because of our DNA. We are in Adam. We just go to the next scripture and we see that God deals for when His command is broken, there is consequences for that command that was broken. And the command and the consequences is death. But for us to have a relationship with God, there has to be a blood offering. And we see here in the Old Testament that then Aaron must slaughter the first goat as a sin offering for the people and carry its blood behind the inner curtain. There he will sprinkle the goat's blood over the atonement and cover it in front of it, just as he did with the bull's blood. So this is the offering that God requires. Something needs to die. To appease God, His divine wrath, something has to die. And then we see that, just go to the next slide, the only solution for our problem is innocent blood. But we are not innocent. The animals that were sacrificed isn't sufficient. But there's only one that is innocent. And that is the blood of Christ. And it says, all glory to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding His blood for us. God presented Him as an atoning sacrifice through faith in His blood, in order to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He passed over the sins committed beforehand. And we see, because Jesus did this, as a man, He lived a perfect, sinless life. In everything that He was confronted with, He never sinned, not once. Therefore, when He was sacrificed, the guiltless was sacrificed for the guilty. Those who were undeserving were justified. We were declared free. Because the one who had no sin became sin for us, the word says. The debtors is quite geskeld. No longer do they have a debt anymore. To the next slide. Colossians 2 verse 13. And when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our trespasses, having cancelled the debt ascribed to us in the decrees that stood against us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Our debt has been dealt with. All our trespasses that came from Adam, that we just perpetuated. It is not a tree does not bear different fruit. Our sinful nature responds in sinful ways. So it's not just an infusion, it is a transfusion, a complete renewal that we require. Because our trespasses, our sins, make us guilty. And yet, it says our debt has been cancelled. And I think that is good news. Just go to the next slide. It's just a pun, but it's not a very good one, it seems. But debt has fallen. Everywhere we see placards, Zuma must fall, whatever must fall. And yet today we can declare, whether you are rich or poor, when you're 2-year-old or 80-year-old, you are guilty. That which Adam did was imputed to us. It became ours. Our nature was tainted. We are guilty. But our debt has been dealt with. And we truly have good news. So when you want to share the good news, no matter who it is, just remember that term, good. Because we are all guilty because of Adam's sin. And God requires an offering to deal with His wrath regarding sin. And the only price that will suffice, the only thing that will appease God, is God the Son, who was perfect, sinless. His life, His blood, is the only blood that will save all of us and has saved us. And therefore, you are no longer guilty. You no longer have debt. You are debt-free. And I think that is good news for all of those who are guilty. Would you like to stand with me, please? Just close your eyes, please. Lord, I just come and speak those words that we sung, Lord, earlier today. Dividing walls, we will break them down, God. We will break down dividing walls, God. Because, God, as we recognize this morning, God, all of us are guilty, Lord. The very thing that we think is dividing myself and the guy on the street is an illusion, Lord. There is no dividing wall between those who are guilty. They all end up in the same place, God. And yet, God, we have good news, Lord. And the good news is urgent, Lord. Because heaven is a reality, hell is a reality, Lord, and people are dying, God. Because they are blind, Lord. They are stuck in their trespasses and sin, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that we will come to know Your love for the people whom You've died for, Lord. Jesus, the guilty has been set free. And we truly have good news. Thank You, Christ, that Your offering was sufficient. That I am free, not by my strength, not by my good works, because I'm a son of God. I am no longer a slave to sin, Lord, but I am a son of God. God, your word says those who sin are slaves to sin, Lord. They are debtors, Lord, to their slave driver, Lord, the master, God. God, give us eyes to see, Lord, those who are in debt around us. Help us see, God. Help us speak with hope, Lord, that they are indeed free, Lord. Can I just, if God just lays somebody on your heart, I know we have prayed for people's salvation, but having eternity in mind, just raise your hand if God just shows you somebody who needs salvation. Just raise your hand. Who is guilty among you? Do you know those who are guilty? Thank you, God, that we see these, that you see these hands, God, and you know those people, Lord, that they are thinking of, God. Help them share the good news, God. In faith, God, because, God, it's not their work, Lord. It is not their action, God. It's not their fluency of words, even, Lord. It's not how smart we are when we convey the good news. God, we are just testifying of what you have done and how you have done it, Lord.
I just had the Holy Spirit just drop in my heart the reminder of the joy of my salvation. And I just want to give a moment that you just trust the Holy Spirit, just with all eyes closed, just to remind you of the joy of your salvation. Just that moment. I know God has forgotten the old Adam in your life completely. He's forgotten and he's taken your sin as far as the east is from the west completely. He doesn't even remind himself of that, and neither would he remind you of that sin. But there's a space where the psalmist says that I'm reminded of the joy of my salvation. Just remember that moment you saw there in SMS that somebody's just paid up and erased all of your financial debt. Just imagine that, exactly like Petri said. Just imagine that phone call where somebody says, well, I'm squashing all your debt. And likewise, just Holy Spirit, just remind us of amper van our eerste teug, of that first breath of fresh air of new life that we were granted by you. And we just thank you for those moments. We just thank you for those moments of life to be reminded, Lord. Because that's the only flame we can share. Is to remember those the day and the time where that chains fell off and how it felt and how the new you felt and the freedom in Christ and the freedom of love felt like. Just remind that in our hearts, Lord, so that we can see that in other people's lives, in Jesus' name. We just thank you for the renewal and the reminding of the joy of our salvations, in Jesus' name. We just thank you for that, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that as Petri said, the old Adam is no more at all. But we thank you, Jesus Christ, that we keep our eyes fixed on you, but that you'll remember us and remind us and keep the freshness of those moments with you in our hearts as we carry that out and share it with other people. Lord, we again come against a religious yoke. I just command a religious yoke in Jesus' name to be gone. One that says you have to do this, you have to do that and the other. Lord, we've been given life and life should flow. Water cannot be stopped if it flows. That's the way you've intended it to be. It wasn't this, you have to do this and you have to do the other. So we just thank you for your water and your life water to flow from us. That we will overflow and that overflow of good news will just touch the people around us, Lord. Because Christ said this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We just thank you, Your yoke is easy and your burden is light upon your people. Thank you that that overflow will bless other people as well. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Pietri. We appreciate you. Please have some cake and coffee, or there's cookies and coffee today. Enjoy the rain. Enjoy the week, and we catch up next week. Please stay for a quick coffee. Don't rush off, and then we'll chat to you soon. God bless.